Hello, this is Dale Connolly from The Morning Show with a collection of bits taken from our daily broadcast. This week, the plot thickens in the contest for the presidential nomination in the Democratic Party, with Congressman Beachley weighing in at the same time he opts out. Or does he? Also, looking to place blame so that we can make money, Spin Williams has a proposal from the meeting that never ends and will be flummoxed. So please, stay tuned. This is the Morning Show on Minnesota Public Radio. In the Twin Cities, the current, good morning and welcome. Thanks for tuning in. It just so happens that on the line with us is Congressman Loomis Beachley. He represents Minnesota's fabled 9th District, which is just the water surface area in the state. Good morning to you, Congressman.
Yes, I just want it to be understood that I'm not offering myself to be a compromised presidential candidate for the Democrats. Is that clear?
Well, I didn't know there was any possibility of that, actually.
Well, neither did I until I started hearing this talk going around that Clinton can't win and Obama has stalled. But let me make this clear, crystal clear.
Yes.
I'm not interested in being anyone's second choice. I'm used to being number one. I've been a winner all my life, and I love America. Right. In fact, I'm wearing my flag pin on my lapel right now, and I'm not even dressed. But I'm willing to suffer the pain because this country has given me so much.
Well, it sounds like you're campaigning for this.
Well, yes, I am campaigning to make it absolutely crystal clear that the Democrats need to figure this one out using the people they already have. It's not fair coming to me and begging me to step in so they can have an easy victory. That would be just too simple.
So you're saying that you would win easily if they made you the nominee instead
of anyone? I'm not saying that exactly.
Well, that sounds like that's what you're saying, though.
No, no. What I'm saying is this.
Yes.
There is no such thing as an easy political contest. If I was thrown into this, I would work so hard, you wouldn't believe it. It would make it easy for everyone around me. I would work so phenomenally hard, but that shouldn't influence any decisions about the future, about me.
Because you're not campaigning.
No, I am not.
You're not.
If I were campaigning, you would know it.
Uh-huh.
This conversation would be a lot more about me, you see?
But it is. It's all about you.
No, actually it's not. It's about what people are saying about me.
Uh-huh.
That's different.
It is. So what you're saying then is that people shouldn't talk about you as a potential compromise candidate to solve the stalemate with the Clinton-Obama thing, right?
Well,
that's what you're saying.
Well, I would never tell people what they should and shouldn't talk about or think about, Daryl. They're free Americans.
Yes.
They can talk about whatever they want.
But if they drafted you to do this, would you accept?
Now, I think you're getting way ahead of the process here. The important part right now is to get people to stop saying that I would be a brilliant, creative, energizing choice for the Democrats to head the presidential ticket, to break the stalemate, and to start the fall campaign in earnest. Let's try to put a lid on that first. Although, it's like trying to catch lightning in a bottle. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
People are so pumped up about this.
But you know—
Me.
Yeah, but I haven't heard anyone say what you're saying here about you, except you.
Yes, yes. It's more of a whispering campaign right now, which is how all great social movements begin.
So now this is a great social movement?
That's not exactly what I'm saying.
You're implying it. You're connecting it.
No. Yeah. I've been very, very careful about that. My congressional record is spotless in that regard.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't find my name attached to anything that is even the slightest bit controversial or memorable even. You can call me a lot of things, but I'm not polarizing.
Uh-huh. Well, you're not even a Democrat.
Well, no, I'm not. I don't carry that baggage. And I think that's another reason certain people in the party are talking about me with such enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell them now that they need to stop talking about me.
You're right.
It's getting a little embarrassing.
Well, anyway, I think there's another group, probably a very small group, talking up a different compromise candidate, of course, Al Gore. And that would be
Al Gore?
Well,
Gore?
Yeah.
Don't make me laugh.
No.
Oops, too late. You did.
Yeah.
Gore?
Well,
really?
Well, he's won a Nobel Peace Prize and an Oscar, so...
Well, awards from foreigners and Hollywood will hang like an anchor around the neck of anyone who wants to be president. And I can assure you, I have won no awards, and I never will.
All right. Well, we have to wind it up here. Just to recap, you were saying...
People, stop saying what a fine president I would be. Talk is cheap.
Okay.
I'm a man of action.
All right.
Me.
Yes. Our 9th District Congressman representing the water surface area in the state, the Honorable Loomis Beachley. And we thank him for joining us. This section of our show is brought to you by Spendy Pop, or the drug company, makers of Flummox, the tiny red and black pill for those who suffer debilitating imbalances in their financial equilibrium.
Well, I don't know what happened. Most of my life, I had a really strong currency. I could count on it, you know. I'd take out my wallet and people would, ooh, and ah. But, you know, the last few months, well, things have sagged. So I went to my doctor. Well, he wasn't very encouraging.
The problem is you definitely are seeing a drop in your monetary vigor. Well, has dropped. There's no doubt it's weak.
Oh. My currency has never been weak. I've always been the envy of the world.
Well, not anymore. You know, if you compare on the charts here, you can see there's a whole lot of other places right now. They're much more robust than what's going on with you, on paper anyway. Sorry to say, the world is no longer envious. You're just not very dynamic. Now, you know, just about every measurement.
My doctor is always a pretty gloomy guy, but this time, you know, he had so much bad news about my economy. He made me feel like I was, you know, on the brink of collapse. And then he said something really shocking.
Cyclical, but underneath of it all, you're still in pretty solid shape. I think a lot of your distress is psychological.
So you're saying I'm crazy?
No, I don't even like that word. It's just that you've been through some rough spots that have skewed your perspective. Like that housing bubble you had told me about,
the
bubble.
That. Oh, yeah. Jeez, I don't even want to talk about it. It's still working its way through my system.
Right, and I take it, if I understand you correctly, there's still a problem with gas?
Is there ever? You haven't noticed while we've been talking here? Doctor, it gets worse every day.
Uh-huh.
You know, I leave the house as, you know, I'm driving down the street, and I start to worry about gas. It makes me want to, you know, turn around, go home, and never leave.
Well, and things like that take a toll on your thought patterns, and sometimes that's more significant than the underlying condition. So you got the...
Well, then he started talking some more mumbo-jumbo about how one thing affects something else. All I really wanted was a pill, you know, just to take it so I could feel like something was being done. But, well, the way it was going, I was worried he was going to tell me to just sleep it off.
Doing what you can do. So I'm going to give you a prescription for a little red and black pill called Flummox.
Flummox?
Flummox, yeah.
I've never taken that.
Flummox is the pill for the times when we don't know what else to do about extreme financial distress, especially. You can see it's got the red side and then the black side, and it's designed to be a transitional medication. We want you to have an attitudinal shift that's been proven to help in those situations.
Then he went into another long explanation of some nonsense I had to, you know, sit her through before I could get my hands on the pill, which when I finally was able to take it, it did make me feel better right away about my currency and my overall prosperity. I don't know why, but a few days of being flummoxed with meals in the morning and evening, and I felt like I was coming out of a long, dark tunnel of economic despair.
So it may be a while before you're the envy of the world again, if ever. But, you know, even if that never comes back, you don't have to be so anemic all the time. Why don't you try the Flummox for a few days? Let me know if it turns things around for you. And if it does, I'll tell my stockbroker, and the markets may respond accordingly, all right?
Well, if your currency is flagging and your monetary vigor isn't what it used to be, ask your doctor for Flummox, the amazing little red and black pill that can help you get your financial equilibrium back when nothing else seems to work. Flummox from Spendy Popper, the drug company.
This is the morning show on Minnesota Public Radio in the Twin Cities, The Current, and now joining us by phone from the meeting that never ends, dealmaker, trend watcher, idea man, Spin Williams. Morning, Spin. What have you been discussing today?
Is it another day already?
Yeah.
Boy, I've lost track. Yes, we've been picking apart the economic situation, examining the three Fs, fuel, food, and foreclosures, and we're just trying to figure out where to pin the blame.
Oh, well, my impression is that's very complicated.
Yes, yes, but we're not going to let that stop us, of course. We're developing a movie project to exploit everyone's worst fears, because, you know, you can turn fear into money if you didn't know that, Dale.
You can.
You can put it on the big screen.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. So we need something simple, but with a good villain.
Uh-huh. Well, like some politician, maybe, or economic cartel?
No.
No.
No, no. Dale, you could never work for us. You think too simply. Get outside the box, man.
Uh-huh.
Something very close and yet unexpected and yet completely logical, so the audience does a kind of, head slap when they find out, of course.
Uh-huh.
There are those are the best kind of villains, you know.
So how do you even find something like that, Spin?
Well, you walk through the important plot points, you see, and it becomes obvious, and we're getting very, very close. Here's what we've got so far.
Uh-huh.
Something is happening to the gasoline. It's getting more and more expensive, and nobody knows why. And something is happening to the food. It's also getting more and more expensive, and again, nobody knows why. And people are being forced out of their homes. It's horrible. Where do you go when you lose your home? Your car, if you have one. Where do you put the expensive gasoline? Your car, if you have one. And who's eating your food?
Your car?
Yes. Yes, it's your car. It's the cars, Dale.
Yes.
They're evil. They're taking over. What do you think?
Well, hasn't this movie been done already?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, every movie has already been done. So what's your point?
Well, so basically what you're proposing is some alien intelligence has taken over the cars,
no,
then? Is
that
the,
no. Dale, outside the box, I said.
Yeah.
The cars just gradually get smarter and smarter until they become smarter than us. You know why?
Why?
Because they have computers in them, Dale.
Uh-huh.
Computers that are exposed to gas fumes and road salt and spillage of high sugar pop and
uh-huh.
high caffeine coffee from all those cup holders.
Uh-huh.
And all that mixed together created a chemical soup that led to an intelligence far beyond anything we can imagine.
So you really have plotted this out and thought it through, haven't you?
Well, have you noticed in the past few years how the engine compartments of cars have become more and more closed off?
Oh.
So you can't do anything in there? They don't want you to. They're protecting themselves, Dale. They want us to live only to serve them.
Right, right, right. But why would the cars want the price of gas to go up? Isn't that counterintuitive? It's
their
food.
Well, you know, when we work all day to get enough money to pay for gas, then we will be their slaves.
But
I'm scaring myself,
but,
Dale.
But we are also the drivers. I mean, we decide where the cars go.
Oh,
so.
We think we decide.
If we don't decide?
Mind control, Dale.
How are they controlling our...
We don't
minds.
Know. We don't know. That's the problem. We don't know. It's in a little box under the hood. We can't get in there. I said
right.
that
but,
before.
Yeah, but what's the reason that the cars are taking over and controlling us and stealing our money and eating our food? Why?
Not so loud, Dale. Don't let them know. Global warming.
It's a global warming.
Yes, they say we're concerned about global warming,
yeah.
And they're afraid we'll cut back on the driving to save the planet. And they can't allow that.
Oh.
They must drive to live.
So, but global warming isn't good for the cars either, is it?
You know, when was the last time you spent a whole winter sitting in the street or waiting in some parking ramp?
So, okay, so maybe a few more degrees would be a good thing for the cars then.
Good.
Too. Yeah.
They want to finish the job, Dale. Will we wake up in time? It's a titanic struggle, uh-huh. And it's got a green theme that's very hot right now. What do you think?
Well,
global warming, very hot.
Yes, I got that. I think that your film scenario, as described, is implausible and alarmist and simplistic.
Yes, I like it too.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a great movie,
uh-huh.
And we've already started working on the product placement.
All right, well, good luck with that then.
You can sign up, kick in a few bucks, help support this.
Let me think that over. That's an interesting proposition. Joining us... from the meeting that never ends, constantly thinking and developing, promoter, dealmaker, and idea man, Spin Williams. That's this week's podcast. The Morning Show is heard Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. on 89.3 The Current in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, also on Minnesota Public Radio's regional network, and of course, streaming worldwide through our website, thecurrent.org. Thanks to Jim Ed Poole for the character voices, to producer Mike Pangra, and thanks to Michael Wells of Minnesota Public Radio's new media department for putting us online. All of the scripts are written by yours truly, Dale Connolly, who is of the opinion that perhaps Congressman Loomis Beachley and Spin Williams are the same person. Do they sound the same to you? Let us know. Your comments are welcome through our mailbox, morningshow, one word, morningshow@mpr.org. There'll be another podcast for you in 1 week. See you then.